You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name is Kevin.
And my name is Chris.
And we are here tonight, or tomorrow, or this evening, or this morning. Whenever you're here, we're here for you. But we're here for a specific reason. We're here to talk about brand icons. And we've been doing a few of these live podcasts lately. We did like one that was a battle of the brand icons, part one and part two. And it got us thinking, since we excluded certain characters from it, because they were a bit adult or more related to fast food, things that weren't like quite as healthy for us, maybe semi-racist, stuff like that. We thought that we would include them in their own kind of little separate battle in audio form. So we're going to have a little fun here, guys. I think it's going to be a really good time. And I hope you audience members enjoy as well. Guys, anything you want to say when building this list? Anything spring to mind or create a fun memory for you?
Well, when the time comes, I say, let's ready to tumble.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All I can think about was how traumatic it was when Kool-Aid Man got knocked out.
You're still on about Kool-Aid Man.
It was a shenanigan. It was not, I don't think it was a fair, I don't think it was, there was something wrong.
How much do we have to pay you to let it go? How much do we have to pay you just let it go?
We found a way to bring him back. I mean, it's not like we weren't like trying to be cordial to you or polite about it. I mean, yes, it seemed like Kool-Aid Man had won it, and it did seem a bit hinky, a bit weird that Tony the Tagger came up with all these extra votes at the last second to win. But, you know, votes are votes, so we had to let it go with that. So that's just the way it is, pal. That's just the way it is, buddy, Chief.
You learn to let go, sir. Learn to let go.
Yeah, man, I guess luckily we're talking more about humans today, so he's not really as a place. But I got my eyes on all those voters.
That's true. Now, let's talk about these humans, so to speak. We're talking about characters. For example, we have Ronald McDonald in here. And why Ronald McDonald, he's been seen in cartoon form, he's also been seen live action, a painted-faced clown in real life. And that's more often than not that we've seen that.
Very creepy.
Yeah. And speaking of creepy, we're talking the Burger King, which... creepy as far as like you're in bed and you turn over and he's there and he's offering you a chicken sandwich or something. That's a bit odd, especially with his face. It's a mask, you know, it doesn't smile, it doesn't move, it doesn't do nothing. But I always felt Burger King had a more fun campaign. McDonald's, Ronald was more like just for little kids, where Burger King was like, we're for like teenagers and adults. We're going to have a good time with this. He's going to steal a football and run down the field with it. He's going to be in bed with you when you know. They had Burger King scented cologne at one point that they sold on their website, guys.
What did it smell like?
It smelled like burgers.
I see.
Like charbroiled burgers is what it was smelling. And it sold out almost instantly and sold on eBay for gangbusters, by the way.
You know what? Well, they released it.
It's a good way to like get over like cheating on somebody. Where were you? Burger King?
Yeah. Right? The other thing is that what we didn't add, one that we didn't add, was the glove from Arby's. And that one, because it was animated, it couldn't be added really in this. It just didn't fit as well. So we didn't add it in. But I want to give hats off or gloves off to Tom Arnold for doing the voice of the glove for as many years as he did for Arby's. So many years, actually, that he got paid, but he also got a card that gives him Arby's for life, by the way. He just said that the only problem with the card was that a lot of people didn't believe him when he went into an Arby's with the card and said, I get it for life. And then they would have to call or check with the corporate or something to figure it out, and then he would get the Arby's. So it became kind of a hassle for him, which kind of sucks because the man definitely deserves Arby's for life for marrying Roseanne. I mean, there's that.
That's a good point.
He deserves a lot for that.
Yeah. So we have our first battle. We have Ronald McDonald versus the Burger King versus, yes, Jack from Jack in the Box.
A three-way.
Which is a great character. No. Oh, no. We also have Mr. Colonel Sanders.
Oh, my God. What's a four-way.
Matter? What's the matter, four-way. Colonel Sanders? Chicken? And he's like, oh, I say, boy, I say, yes, Colonel Sanders here with my chicken. And
it sounds like Foghorn's Leghorn. Like Foghorn's Leghorn.
Well, I think they're the same, really. I always say
that's true.
Colonel Sanders and Foghorn Leghorn, they might as well be the same damn character.
So this is a four-way dance battle. I like it.
Let's talk about this battle. Ronald versus Burger King versus Jack versus Colonel Sanders. Now, I see it more like a turf war type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronald's more for the kids. Colonel Sanders is a Southern gentleman. I feel like they're going to kind of team up at first. And they're going to say, Ronald's going to be like, look, I want to make the kids happy. And then...
I say, you're right.
Right. And then, I think Colonel Sanders, I say, we need to teach you. I say these boys a lesson. And so Burger King and Jack, they're the feisty ones. So I think they're going to be like, look, we don't want to offer as many cool toys and promotions and things as you guys feel that we should. We're not going to do it. And they're like, well, it's for the children now. It's for the children. And give them some chicken. And I think that's when the fight kind of starts. And I think Jack's going to be like, listen. And he's going to push somebody. He's probably going to push the colonel.
Uh-oh.
And that's going to be the wrong thing to do. The colonel's going to take Jack's finger and he's going to break it.
And when he pushes him, his hat falls off. So that really pisses him off.
Yeah. So that's going to cause a big fight between the group. And I think then at some point, I think Jack's going to turn on the Burger King or vice versa. And we're going to have this brawl. So who do you guys see winning and why out of this four-way battle?
You know, the colonel's been around probably the longest as far as age-wise. I mean, that man has experience. Who knows how many people he's killed? Who knows how many people he's killed on his plantation over the years? So I may have to give a slight edge to the colonel to defeat the other three opponents.
I don't know, man. I think Jack probably plays dirty. He probably fights real dirty.
The colonel? Like, you kidding me? The colonel invented dirtiness. You kidding me?
Well, he's got those 11 spices and such. But
Kevin, have you ever been to a Jack in the Box? There's nothing dirtier than a Jack in the Box.
You know what? That's true.
Chris, by the way, the one in Hollywood, they finally tore it down.
Oh, thank God.
What did they replace it with? I forget what they replaced it with.
Some form of a building. I don't know what it's going to be, but some form of a building.
Hmm.
It's much bigger, for sure. That whole area is now a bigger space. So, who knows? I couldn't tell. It was nighttime, so it was a little hard for me to be able to see. There's still a fence up around it and stuff, so it was a little hard to see it. But that's gone. So, yeah, I think, Kevin, you're going with Colonel Sanders. Chris, you're going with Jack from Jack in the Box?
Yes.
I think that we're all overlooking the dark horse here, and I think that is the Burger King. Just based on his commercials alone and what he allows himself to do in order to be seen and in order for people to buy his food, I think he's going to be the same way in a fight. He's going to be as desperate as he can be and as creative. Whether he has to seduce Colonel Sanders, he will. He'll take his shirt off. He doesn't mind. And, you know, if that distracts him, then, you know, pop goes the weasel, game on. But I say Burger King. So we can all agree that Ronald is not winning this.
No, not at all.
Food folks and dumb.
Oh, yeah, he's the first one down. He's the first one out.
He's not taking this. So in this case, then, I am going to agree with Kevin on this one and say that Colonel Sanders, while he is a Southern gentleman, has the grit. And I think that he will smash Jack's face, his globe face, just crush it. And be like, oh, I got some pieces now for my bucket, you know, and he'll pick up some of the Jack and put it in his 12-piece or 16-piece or whatever bucket. And then he'll throw it at the Burger King, who's like stunned, and the Burger King will like hold the bucket, and that's when he punches the Burger King in the gut and then clocks him again across the face and knocks the King out. And I think Colonel Sanders is going to take it. unfortunately, because of his dirty fighting that we did not recognize he has the capability of. Burger King would be the last to fall. But yeah, I guess I in this moment, I agree with Kevin on Colonel Sanders taking the whole thing.
I say, I'm the winner.
I mean, it'd definitely be a real scrappy fight. It'd be definitely a lot. I think there'd be a lot of blood.
I mean, look at it this way. If the Colonel is willing to add little pieces of fried chicken with mashed potatoes, gravy, and corn, what else is he capable of? You know, he's a madman. He's just throwing shit in a thing. Let's toss all this shit in a bowl and make him eat it. You know, he's nuts. He's 23
herbs and spices, you know?
He's the only gravy guy that we have here, so you got to watch out for that, too. So I say Colonel, for sure. So he takes this one. Now, we have the battle of the somewhat racist icons here. We have Aunt Jemima versus Uncle Ben. Now, Aunt Jemima is like pancakes, pancake syrup, things like that. Very home-style meal-type comfort food for breakfast, usually. And Uncle Ben, well, he's the rice. He's your rice guy. Dirty rice, wild rice, white rice, brown rice, steamed rice, quick rice. He is your man. In this fight, who do you guys have and why?
Boy, this is disturbing, this particular matchup.
I'm glad we're doing this. The part where we have a man fighting a woman, or?
Both. or just that we're going with these classical stereotypes, well, which of course
we never removed. Well, I would pause to say that, Kevin, you did mention them first, so.
I said it in a joking way. I didn't think you'd really want to bring it in.
You didn't think I'd really bring it up? No.
You should
not have mentioned it to me if you did not want to hear this. And I'm sure most of our listeners will be like, wow. And then they'll be like, well, but who would win? And that's all
Aunt Jemima.
Well, I think Uncle Ben would try to calm her down.
Yeah.
Say there's no reason to fight.
Right.
No, he's a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Aunt Jemima, you know, she is a lady.
She'd be like, don't you coddle me.
She's a strong black woman. She's going to kick his ass.
Couple syrup bottles to the face.
That's probably true, but at the same time, I think Uncle Ben would do everything he can to just say, you know what, sister, let's calm down. Let's sit down for a good meal, and let me serve you some of this good rice. And then that's
She's going to be standing over him, huffing and a puffing. He's going to be semi-unconscious, almost knocked out. She's going to roll up a pancake, stuff it in his throat, and pour syrup down it and just choke him out. End of story. Aunt Jemima takes it.
If that's the case, then he probably will willingly lose. He must say, you know what? I don't want to fight this fine woman.
Yeah.
I'll take this L. You know?
Okay,
He'll take the L. He'll take it.
All right. Okay, Kevin.
So I still think to this day they should rebrand it, Uncle Ben, to like Peter Parker's Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben Parker. That's funny.
Yeah. That would have been funny. They just change his skin color. That sounds terrible. But I mean,
comes better rice. I don't know.
That wouldn't work. You know, like Zatarain's is a better rice anyway. So whatever. I like Zatarain's. Remember when we went to New Orleans and all they had around was Zatarain's?
Yeah.
In the store, red beans and Zatarain's, red beans, dirty rice and that stuff. New Orleans style rice, jazz rice, whatever it was. Rice. I enjoyed it. It's good rice. It's good rice, Zatarain's. So let's go to the next one. We have a gentleman fisherman.
Ah.
Catch fish, fry it up, put it in a box for you to take home and bake it and enjoy. And we're talking about Trusta Gordon's fisherman.
You know, wasn't he in that serial killer horror movies back in the 90s? I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. Pretty much. He was. Yeah. With certainty, yes, that was definitely him. And he will be going up against none other than Yar, another seafaring gentleman of sorts that's not quite the gentleman. We're talking Captain Morgan.
Is that a pirate?
Yeah, he's definitely a pirate. Captain Morgan? Yeah, he's a pirate.
Yeah, he's definitely a pirate.
He's standing on a thing of treasure, and he's got
a sword with a sword.
Yeah, he's a hardcore pirate. If we say that the Gordon's fisherman is secretly, sneakily, the I Know What You Did Last Summer slayer, the killer, with the hook, he's going to put up more of a fight than we thought against Captain Morgan. So let's go with that angle.
No doubt.
With that in mind,
where's that? Where's this fight taking place? I guess the first question.
On a pier, on a harbor.
On a pier, somewhere in Boston. Boston.
Harbor on a pier. Yeah. Yep. And like the guy that watches the docks at night is going to be like, oh geez, oh my wife, oh she's up my ass about these eggs. I gotta go get some eggs. Shit, I can't stay the whole night. I gotta go. I gotta get my wife some of these goddamn eggs. And then he leaves. And then that's when they come out to play. And you see the hook kind of scraping against the side of one of the buildings, the brick building. And you see it kind of spark. And
Freddy Krueger style.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, Morgan, come out to play. Scrape, 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 scrape. And then next thing you know, you see this sword scrape across another wall, and it lights the tip on fire. And Morgan standing there, and he lights a cigarette with the lit sword, or a pipe, actually. He lights a pipe with the lit sword, which is hard to do, by the way. Mm. And he's like, what say you, matey? And then Gordon says, it's time for a fish fry.
So then Captain calls his friend Kraken Rum into the party.
Kraken Rum.
From the rum party?
Rum party, yeah.
Yeah. From the rum ball. There we go.
Well, if that's the case, then, you know, then he'll just call his fisherman union in to help him, if that's the case.
I don't know of any other fish companies that sell fish, but I'm sure there are some.
Well, there's Long John Silver's.
That's true. Oh, shit. Yeah, then Long John Silver shows up. Then you got yourself a hell of a fight.
So then we got two pirates, a kraken, and a fisherman.
I say in this fight, it's going to be a tough one. But I say, I see probably Captain Morgan's going to take it. Just because he's used to pirating, and pirates find a way to be creative in any type of scenario.
And they don't fight fair. They don't fight fair
right.
either.
And they're
so,
always
here's how I see it ending. Lights a bottle of creates a Molotov cocktail with a bottle of rum, throws it on the dock, explodes the dock, explodes the fisherman.
And then all that's left are these little sticks, little fish sticks.
And a hook.
Yep, little pieces of fish sticks and a hook, and that's all that was known of Gordon's fisherman.
So was Gordon's fisherman just a bunch of fish sticks in a trench coat then? Like, or in like a fisherman's outfit? Like, or is it a person that just turns into fish sticks?
The world will never know.
And the way Captain Morgan is smiling, it looks like he would do something like that too.
Right. But the story goes that if you eat fish sticks and you accidentally leave them out overnight, they may reconstitute into Gordon's fisherman, and he'll form the hook and come at you.
It's like a twisted version of the Candyman story.
Kinda, yeah. It's pretty good.
So Gordon's hook is food poisoning.
That's the rub. That's the hook. Yeah, it's probably food poisoning. Okay. Yeah. Or some type of parasite. It gives you some type of parasite. Sure. Next battle. This is a fun little one that we enjoyed coming up with. We thought about all the fast food ones, and then we thought, well, Taco Bell didn't have a fast food, you know, kind of a brand icon. And then we thought, well, wait a minute, he did. In like the 90s, there was the Chihuahua, the Taco Bell dog.
Yeah, 90s to the early 2000s, yep.
Poquito Taco Bell. And we thought, well, wouldn't that be great to put him up against another pet of sorts? And we were coming up with ideas and stuff. And we had, what was it, the emu, I believe, from Liberty?
Yep.
That was an idea, and then there was a couple others, animal ones. But the one that seemed the funnest was the target dog. Spot, the target dog. I think his name's Spot. Maybe it's not, but it's the target dog. So we have the Taco Bell dog versus the target dog. Now we have a Chihuahua versus, what's the target dog? It's a
bull terrier. Bull terrier.
Yeah, he's a little
name is Bullseye. Dog. Yeah, his name is Bullseye.
Yeah, Bullseye the target dog, yeah. So we have this fight. I, as feisty as I see the Taco Bell dog being, He's a little dog, but he seems Chihuahua. To be smarter than the target dog. He does talk. The target dog's never said a word.
Mm-hmm. But he has that gas from all those Taco Bell tacos. I mean,
yeah, he could.
That alone is murder. There alone could kill somebody.
He could get spot the target dog in a situation where it's a small room, and just fill it with his own farts from Taco Bell and do the dog in, like knock him out. And then he could just drag him eventually and bury him like he would, you know, his own shit or whatever, if he wanted to. But, yeah, I mean, the target dog, I think, could win if it's just based on brute force. But I think we have to go with intelligence here. And I think the Taco Bell dog has multiple ways to find a way out of this battle easily to defeat the bullseye, the target dog. That's just my opinion.
The odds true. I think sometimes the silent type is the most dangerous one. So I think bullseye would find a way to sneak up on Gidget, the Taco Bell dog, and take it out. And now this is a very controversial matchup too. You know how people feel about dogs. So just us even having this conversation.
It's just fun.
Fine. They're having a conversation. They're not fighting. They're just having a nice civil conversation, Kevin.
I know. It's just PETA. You know, PETA is PETA. PETA gets upset about everything.
Like I said, the dogs are not fighting. They're having a conversation.
Your PETA gets upset about everything, but mine is just fine. Wait, what?
What did he say?
I have no idea. Probably drunk. Who knows? So Kevin thinks that the target dog, I think the Taco Bell dog. I think Chris, what do you think? Taco Bell dog or target dog?
I think the Taco Bell dog would find a way.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So it seems like the Taco Bell dog is going to walk away with this one.
Ooh.
And we have one more match, one more final one, which is a fun little one that we threw together. We have Flo from Progressive, and we know how relentless she is, versus another relentless force, one simply called Mayhem. So, Allstate's Mayhem versus Progressive's Flo. Who wins this fight and why?
Well, Mayhem kind of speaks for itself. He survived all kinds of calamities, so I have to go with Mayhem.
Flo's pretty feisty, though. What do you think, Chris?
Flo's pretty feisty. I mean, Flo is used, like, Flo can put a baby to sleep. So I think Flo could bore Mayhem into submission.
That's a good angle.
Yeah.
Possible.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Kevin on this one, though. I think Mayhem will find a way to create some type of mayhem. And I think here's why. Remember in all these Progressive commercials and stuff, she's always so eager and there's always somebody wanting to learn or asking questions or something. What if Mayhem just makes it to where nobody ever gets to her to be able to ask her questions?
He kills them all.
Right. Creates mayhem in everyone else's life to where they have no time or ability to get a hold of Progressive so Flo can do anything. In which case, just basically incapacitating her and branding her useless from the start.
Yeah, I can see that. He takes her little, what is that gadget that she has? The name your price gadget or whatever?
Yeah.
Takes that away, then she's totally useless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Her little, what was it? What do they call those? Those little sticker things that they use on almost kind of on labels and stuff and on canned goods and things at stores and whatnot for pricing. Yeah. I totally can see that. He just takes everything away from her, just strips her one by one of things that she finds joy in and love, and just like she's a shell of a human being after that. She basically just...
She's crying. She's crying.
Her own life.
Yeah, she's crying her eyes out. Like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Well, with that, that's pretty much going to wrap it up, I think.
Very sad way to end it.
To kind of roll, we'll do a roll call here of sorts. We'll talk about what we've just mentioned briefly. So between Ronald McDonald, Burger King, Jack, and Colonel Sanders, it sounds like Colonel Sanders takes it with his gravy and his gusto. When going up against Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben is pretty much rendered useless and refuses to fight. Aunt Jemima just slaps the shit out of him, basically, with her pancakes, and that ends that. Then we're talking the Killer Gordon's fisherman versus the bloodthirsty Captain Morgan. It sounds like Captain Morgan uses his captain-esque piratey gusto to take out Gordon and all of his fishermen. Then we go to the Taco Bell and the Target Dog. Seems like the Target Dog spot gets out, or Bullseye gets outsmarted, outwitted, and outlasted where the Taco Bell dog takes it. And in the Flow versus Mayhem, the battle of the insurances, it sounds like Mayhem incapacitates Flow and gives her no ability to do her job, thereby winning ultimately the battle. So those are the battles. Tell us what you think in the comment section, or reach out to us on our social media. On our we have Twitter, we have Instagram, and we have Facebook, as well as a whole host of other ways to reach out to us. Feel free, let us know what you think, and if you had any other ideas for future podcasts or future battles like these that you'd like us to do or hear us do, please reach out and let us know. Our audio podcasts are available on almost every single audio podcast platform: Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so on and so forth. Just pretty much everywhere. We have our live podcasts that we do on YouTube. You can find us. We do those on Mondays normally. And we have all kinds of fun videos from the past and stuff, and web series content and things that that the sponsors and programs that have put together for us. So check us out. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the odd, old-fashioned, but always open comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.